So he said that to the gopis, Krishna is mamata aspad, which is two words. It means mamata aspad. Mamata means, we described last night, the sense that Krishna belongs to me. Krishna is my lover. Krishna is my son. Krishna is my friend. And aspad means the abode or the resting place. So in other words, the Vishaya. Krishna is the Vishaya, the object of the gopis mamata. So that is called aspad. And now he's coming to the verse. And he's saying how the gopis were so deeply absorbed in thinking of Krishna and remembrance of Krishna that they completely forgot their bodies and everything. And their state is compared to the munis. The munis, they perform meditation, and when they become perfected in that meditation, they attain samadhi. And when they attain samadhi, then there is a state of samadhi, it's called nirvikalpa samadhi, which means the states where there is no awareness whatsoever of anything external. So in that state, they have no awareness of their bodies or anything of this world, no awareness even of who they are. There's only a state of unbroken meditation on Nirvishesh Brahma, the impersonal Brahman feature of the Lord. So later on he will explain that actually the state of the gopis cannot be compared to the munis. The state of the gopis is vastly different from that of the munis. Therefore this example is not appropriate. Yet, only to show one aspect. That one aspect is to show their complete forgetfulness or complete lack of awareness of their bodies and anything else due to intense absorption in one thing. That is the point of the example, to be understood from this. Not that they were actually like munis. And this verse, he also said, this is spoken from the point of view of Aprakat Lila. So he also said that from their point of view, from the gopis' point of view, or from any self-realized soul's point of view, there is no difference between Aprakat Lila and Prakat Lila, or between Golok and Gokul. But from the point of view of the sadhak who is still struggling with anarthas, there is a difference.
Vast difference.
Yeah, vast difference. But not for Nasara, who is a Swarupsiddhi?
No. Or even Swarupsiddhi. He said, like, from the point of view of Shukadeva or Vyas, there is no difference. So then he described the eight stages of Shukadev or Vyas, there's no difference between Prakat Lila and Aprakat Lila. So then he described the eight stages of practice for the munis. Yam, Niyam, Asan, Pratyahara, There's one that I missed. Pranayam, Dharan, Dhyan, Samadhi. So, Yam means restraining the senses, Niyam, restraining the mind, Asan, assuming various postures, and Pratyahara, giving up that which is unfavorable, such as attachment to family and attachment to things of this world. And Pranayam means various breathing exercises, Dharana, Dhyan, Samadhi. These are progressive stages of meditation, culminating in Samadhi, which is, as we described, when one attains Samadhi, then there's no awareness of the body or anything external. He said for the devotee, for the bhaktas, there is no need of undertaking this process. And he said that they try to attain the states of absorption in Nirakar Brahman by their mental power, by their own efforts. And he said actually in that state they are, we cannot say what they are. They are no longer munis, like a stone, that they don't know whether they are hard or soft or whether someone is sitting on them or anything, because they have lost all awareness of everything external. So this is just an example, upama, as we are described earlier. There are three aspects to this, upaman, upameya, and samanya dharma. So another example which is given here in the verse is like the rivers. Like the rivers, they have different names, Godavari, or Ganga, Yamuna, etc. But when they come to the ocean, then they no longer maintain those names. Their identity becomes merged with the ocean. They become part of the ocean. So they lose their the individual sense of who they are and what they are. Yet, in the case of the munis, he's showing the limitation of this example, that it is applies only in the aspect of forgetfulness of their bodies and everything external. But in the case of the munis, they are simply fixed, simply absorbed in nirvishesh brahma. And in that state, they have no awareness of themselves. They are so absorbed in the sense of identity with Brahman that actually they have no consciousness of themselves, or even no consciousness really of, because Brahman is devoid of any variety, therefore there's no sense of Krishna or any form or qualities or anything like that. Whereas in the case of the gopis, when they're in this state of intense absorption in Krishna, and although there is no awareness of anything external, yet inside there is full absorption and remembrance of Krishna. So this is the difference. And so in this state, their sakis, their friends may inquire from them, where are you coming from? I don't know. Oh, you're coming from Krishna. And where are you going? I don't know. You're going home. So they have no awareness. Just to give a mundane example, and there's some story about Einstein. He was teaching at Princeton University, And of course, everyone knows he was a famous scientist, and he was known to be very absent-minded in worldly things. So one time he was walking, and then he was absorbed in thinking of something, and then he spoke to one of his students, and he was speaking for some time, and then after that he asked the students, before I met you, which direction was I coming from? And the student told him which direction he was coming from, and then he said, oh, okay, that means I've already taken lunch. So that's only a material example, so we can imagine what the state of the gopis must have been. So he was elaborating on this point, that how material examples are defective to try to convey transcendental subject matter. And just like it is said, or Krishna is compared to the sun of the chit jagat, of the spiritual world, and the jivas are compared to a kiran, or a particle within the rays of the Krishna sun. So again, this is only to give some idea. This actually cannot really convey the true sense. Also in Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in discussing these type of points, and also when we try to describe the jiva and his state in the material world, we sometimes speak of the creation of the jiva, and use different words like this. He said that these words are, we have to use these words to describe it, because it's only to give some idea, but actually these words are defective, because they give some material conception.
Are they false? You could say they're false?
They're just imperfect. Yeah. Inadequate. And he said, just like a small boy, or the father is saying to a small boy that, oh, just see the moon. So the boy is inquiring, and he says, oh, just see over there, it's just sitting on the branch of the tree. So it's just to give some idea. And the last thing he said was that in the words of Shukadev and Vyas, that at every step there will be doubt and confusion. Not in their words, but in our trying to understand them, there will be doubt and confusion. As long as we are trying to understand it from the material perspective, from the point of view of our material intelligence. He said, because what Vyas is describing is his samadhi, is what he saw in samadhi, in trance. So what he is describing in Srimad Bhagavatam, that is the revelation of what he saw in trance. But when we hear the words, it strikes us in a different way, because it is filtered through the material intelligence. So therefore we cannot experience or realize what is the description of his trance unless we also come to the state of trance. In other words, we have to come to the state of samadhi, not like the munis, but by performing sadhana and bhajan, and by receiving the mercy of Guru and Vaishnavas, when they manifest these conclusions in our hearts, then we can understand. Otherwise, not. have so much more time, but if there's any quick questions.
You were talking about different levels of progression. Do they have to proceed to the fullest extent in order to progress to the next stage, or is there a mixture?
There can be some crossing over. But generally, as one approaches the next stage, then there's like a, we can say a medium point where it's, you know, let's say from nishta to ruchi, that one may not be fully in ruchi, but still some ruchi is coming as one's nishta becomes thickened. But even prior to that, there may be some glimpses of that. There may be some, you know, experience of ruchi, even in nishta, but it will come and go, it won't be steady. And it will just be like faint. But as it becomes more condensed and it begins to be converted into the next stage, then it will become more more prominent and more steady. Yes.
So my question is, when we receive diksha, mm-hmm. mantra, also we are in a material state, but by practicing, then it becomes spiritual. You know, and also the diksha mantras also are, you know, also very mathematical meaning that will also, if the person doesn't progress properly, it will also bring the person down. Mm-hmm. Like there was a someone said, well, maybe the things that they have and they are not ready and then they leave it. Then I said the same thing they do with Diksha Mantra. And many progress with Diksha Mantra very nicely, like I know many of the things that they have from the beginning and do that very nicely. Others don't. So what's the difference between the things that they have and Diksha?
Well, there's quite a difference because if you're meditating in the stage of anarthas, that you are such and such person, you have such and such service in, you know, within Krishna's lila, it is simply fabrication unless there is unless realization has come of those things. In the practice of sadhana, you're performing the limbs of sadhana as advised by Rupa Goswami, hearing, chanting, remembering, and the diksha mantras. Okay, so realization of those mantras has not yet come, but you're not imagining anything. You're simply, it is like, it is a method of worshipping Krishna, and meditation on Krishna, and also a prayer of submission of the self to Krishna. So you're not imagining anything material there. It is a meditation on Krishna and petitioning Krishna through prayer. That you can have realization of your identity, beginning with understanding that I am servant of Krishna. That understanding has to come first. Otherwise, if you're meditating that I am, you know, whatever, such and such person in Krishna's lila, and the realization has not even come that I am servant of Krishna, and still we are maintaining our independent identity as an enjoyer of this world, then that whole meditation, it will simply be tinged with selfish desire and sense enjoyment. It will not be for Krishna's pleasure. It will be mixed with personal desire for enjoyment. So first one has to become established in one's identity as a servant of Krishna. It's okay, we can pray to have the mood of the gopis. We can, you know, aspire to have that mood and pray that mood should come in our heart. That's something different. There's no harm in having that aspiration and praying for it. But to meditate on very specific things. This is my form, this is my age, this is my service, this is, you know, all of these things. That is not recommended. You won't find that anywhere in the Goswami's books.
Because if you're my guru, then it's not imagination, it's real. If the guru says, it's
but what is the parampara for that? Where is it coming from? You won't find it in any books in the Goswamis that this process is given.
Siddha
Pranali, it's not given. Where? You show me any book of the Goswamis where it's given.
In the letter to Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, and asked why he mentioned the Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj in one letter, and he said he's for encouragement.
If, like for example, in Jiva Dharma,
this is secret.
No, the point is in any books of the Goswamis, you will not find this described. They describe how bhav comes and how swarup siddhi comes. So at that stage, then you will have direct realization of all of these things. Prior to that, you will not have realization. Now, actually, this whole line of, like, for example, Ekadash Bhav, which are describing these 11 characteristics, this is coming from Gopal Guru Goswami. Otherwise, it's not described by Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami. It's not described in any of their books or commentaries.
No.
This process was begun after the Goswamis by Gopal Guru Goswami. And we're not saying that there's not any credence for it, but I'm saying that it's not discussed in the Goswami literature. And if we study their literature, then we see that Swarup Siddhi is something which comes at bhav. But even if we take this process as it's coming from the line of Gopal Guru Goswami and as Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described, then possibly in the stage of asakti, when the guru determines that the disciple is qualified, then he may disclose these things just to help that person in their meditation and in their bhajan practice, which will be helpful to bring on the manifestation of bhava, but not before that. Nowhere will you find that this is given in the very beginning and in the stage of anartha. This is not a bona fide process. Because if it is given there, then it will be totally material.
But if the person is sincere, it's like before I missed on that, he said to me, oh, if you know anything about Vaganga Bhakti, if you do anything about Lila, I still have an artist in your heart, you're going to fall down. But if the person is sincere, then the person will not fall down.
We have to follow in parampara. So if you say that it's given by a guru, but what guru? What guru is giving this? What parampara is he coming in, and what is he actually following? Is he really following the Siddhanta of the Goswamis? And if you haven't described it anywhere in their books, then where is he taking it from?
In the video showed me today that in Puri, they said, the details, I don't remember the word he used, that when comes to the heart of the body, then this is revealed of the But, right, you were there, but if it doesn't come, then Buddha would give this.
Yeah, but not in the beginning stage.
No, but you know, he said if it doesn't come to the devotee, then he will give it. You can be the quotation of Krishna Kirtan, Krishna Kirtan, the
I think that needs clarification.
I was there. Yeah.
Ah, okay. So you know, you don't know.
He said some feeling will come at first in the heart, just like a dream.
What?
Yeah. No, no. He said don't like a dream. The devotee is doing bhajan, and like a dream, some feeling comes in the heart of his identity, these things at first. But Gurudev never said, if it doesn't come, then he didn't say it. Unless he said it on another occasion, but when he was speaking specifically on this topic of Raghunatha Bhakti, he didn't say that. What's clarification? Well, could it be said that, because he was saying that, isn't the taking of Diksha, mantra, the same, just like getting Ekadas Mahav? But couldn't you say that the exception of the Diksha mantra is wholly appropriate in the state of Anatta Grasta?
Yeah.
Because the Diksha mantra also serves the function of Divigyanam Kuryat Papasya Sangsayam. It takes away pap. So when the devotee is covered by a video and all different things like this, the mantra also does that function. So it's wholly appropriate to give mantra to a conditioned soul, whereas Ekadas Bhav is wholly inappropriate.
Yes. Also because, although it can be said that in seed form, it is given in the mantra, but that will not be realized by a person in the initial stage. They'll have to make progress through chanting the mantra and serving, and then gradually it will be revealed. But not that in the beginning the whole conception is given to someone that is not qualified to really understand it or to be able to meditate in a transcendental way. They will have to relate it to their material experience, and therefore it will be material.
Go for it, Randy.